My name is Hayden Adams, and I'm the founder at Uniswap. This talk is called Building on Uniswap. So what is this talk about? It was going to be a talk about Uniswap, but now it's a weather advisory. A hurricane is a tropical cyclone that takes effect in the North Pacific and Eastern North Pacific. A typhoon is a tropical cyclone that takes place in the Northwest Pacific. Super Typhoon Hagibis is a Category 5 hurricane that's headed directly to Japan. There it is. It's on its way. Alright, what is this talk about? This talk is about Uniswap. It's about what can be built on it today. It's about how we can expand its utility, in Uniswap version 2, and then how we can scale Uniswap while retaining its utility. So, what is Uniswap? It's first and foremost a decentralized exchange protocol. It makes use of automated market making. It makes use of pooled and tokenized liquidity. And what that means is in a traditional exchange, you kind of have buyers and sellers matched up on an order book. In Uniswap, you sort of automate that whole process, and then you give people a token that sort of represents their position. It's easy to understand and use, and that's one of the most important things. So why is it needed? First, it lowers the barrier of entry to the participation in finance. So in Uniswap, anyone can be a market maker. This is the current distribution of market makers on Uniswap as of a few weeks ago. About 25% of people in the $2.5 billion DAI pool come from users who use less than 1%. So it basically allows you to pull together a lot of small market makers and do what used to be only a whales game. Anyone can create and list an asset. This is super important. In Uniswap right now, there's over 800 tokens. About 100 to 150 have actual usage. It's a lot easier to get listed on Uniswap than on NASDAQ, or even on a centralized exchange, or even on sort of off-chain order book decentralized exchanges. Anyone can build on top of it, and this is more the topic of this talk. Part of the reason for that is it's all open source. It has an open source front end, documentation, smart contract, SDK. And so, since I launched last November, there've been a number of projects that have started building on top of it. So what are the use cases right now? It seems like a lot of people are using it for trading tokens on Ethereum. So trading interfaces, wallets, DEX aggregators. And then we have, some people want to use it to earn interest as a market maker. What they're doing is they're maintaining a 50-50 ratio of ETH and an ERC-20 token, and then they're earning fees on trades between the two. One option you could do is use that liquidity as collateral, take out a loan against it, and basically be able to leverage up on market making. Another option is create a liquidity source for an application you care about. So MakerDAO there's a lot of MKR, there's a lot of Spank. And the reason is tokens like Spank have a really hard time getting listed on exchanges because they have to do with the adult industry. Some people, and this is the one that I'm more interested in, is like integrating Uniswap directly inside of applications. So, for example, you could, lock up ETH and MakerDAO, borrow DAI, swap that DAI for ETH, lock that up in MakerDAO again, and you can kind of loop through protocols to leverage up. So there've been, some projects that have tried this out, like Open, Nuo does some stuff like this. But what we really want to do is we want to improve Uniswap so that it can serve more use cases than it does today. And we're going to do that with Uniswap version 2. Okay, so the first and most... And one of my favorite features is decentralized price oracle. The second is, direct ERC-20 to ERC-20 pairs. Right now, Uniswap forces all tokens to be paired with ETH. And there's a big advantage there, but then there's also some versatility that you can get out of allowing arbitrary pairs. And finally, we've refactored the entire code base to make it a lot more flexible, I think more secure, and sort of better for the long term. Okay, so how do these oracles work? Well, the idea of the oracles is that it provides a maximally decentralized on-chain price feed for any ERC-20 token with a very clear incentive structure, very easy to reason about, like the cost of attack, how secure it is. And it can be useful for things like synthetics, lending, automated trading, stuff like that. One example use case that we're looking at is, Augur needs a rep to ETH price feed for their version 2. So actually, before I get on, I'm going to maybe explain a little bit of how these oracles work. So the most meaningful price, right now there's already projects that use Uniswap as an oracle, where they try to checkpoint the price for maybe some sort of lending system or some sort of synthetic asset. But it can be firm run. Any transaction that checks the price on Uniswap, and basically someone can manipulate the price right ahead of that transaction and basically, you know, mess up the Oracle for a relatively cheap, for a pretty cheap, it doesn't cost that much. Especially since you can synchronously, like, front run it, move the price, let an Oracle transaction go through, and then push the price back synchronously. So what we're going to do is we're basically going to have every transaction on Uniswap check the price, and if it's the first transaction of the block, we store that price. And what we can do is we can basically average prices across multiple blocks, so that, you know, manipulating the price on Uniswap, you could, you know, you might be able to manipulate it for one block, but if you're manipulating across 1,000 blocks or across an hour or a day, you know, what we're ideally wanting to expose is allowing people to build pretty much arbitrary time-length oracles on top of Uniswap. So if you check the oracle once at the beginning of the day and once at the end of the day, you can get a perfect one-hour time-weighted average price of the price on Uniswap at the beginning of the block. The reason we do it at the beginning of the block is basically because in order to manipulate the price at the beginning of a block, you have to do the last transaction in the previous block, which means you're opening yourself up to an arbitrage in the next block. And doing that across, you know, 1,000 blocks can be very expensive.
Okay. Can you use the microphone?
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay,
thanks.
Sorry about that. Okay, the other feature we're working on is ERC-20 to ERC-20 pairs. The main idea here is to allow liquidity providers to take on a wider range of positions. Also allow for lower slippage and fees on direct ERC-20 to ERC-20 pairs for ones that have a lot of liquidity in them. Right now, you know, when you go ERC-20 to ERC-20, you have to go ERC-20 to ETH, ETH to ERC-20, you pay a 0.3% fee on both sides, and then the slippage on both sides. This, in general, we think increases the protocol flexibility. So an example for like the use case where this is maybe most interesting is allowing tokens to be paired against stablecoins, or even stablecoins paired against each other, or just very highly correlated assets. You know, if you create, there's all sorts of different projects where they create assets that are, you know, meant to be correlated with each other. For example, you can imagine like CDAI and DAI, you can create a liquidity pool between the two. You're gonna have very low loss, very low, basically the losses in Uniswap come from the prices diverging in the assets. So an example use case would be a CDAI to CUSDC pair on Uniswap. A while back we were thinking about the idea of like a DAI to USDC pair as an example use case for this. But one thing that kept coming up was the opportunity cost of lending stablecoins. So right now if you lend DAI or USDC, you can make about a 15% return, versus if you were a liquidity provider on the system in Uniswap, you would have to be making a 15% return for it to be worth it. If we have the sort of ability to create arbitrary ERC-20 pairs, we could create a pair between CDAI, CUSDC, where when someone wants to trade, you know, the trader, it's abstracted from them, they just send some DAI to the contract. The DAI goes through Compound, converts it to CDAI, and then CDAI goes through Uniswap, converted to CUSDC, CUSDC back to Compound, or USDC, and then USDC back to Uniswap in a single transaction. And what you have is for the liquidity provider, they're basically leveraging up. They're earning interest on Compound while earning fees on Uniswap. For the trader, all they deal with is DAI and USDC. And so they have there's a much lower opportunity cost in this case for being a liquidity provider. There's no LP loss as long as tokens maintain their peg in this case. Now, this is not true. You should be telling me that's wrong, because technically they can have a different interest rate. So there might be a very, very small, very, very small potential loss between the two, but not very much. Users can swap DAI for USDC at very low prices, and then you could also even imagine this CDAI and CUSDC liquidity pool tokens then being used as collateral because it's very stable. And then not only have you leveraged up by lending and market making at the same time, but then you're taking out a loan against that same collateral again. Yes, the money Legos get kind of crazy, but we have a lot of fun with it. One of the thing that this has been focused on so far is like the idea of building on top of Uniswap. And we also want to improve the UX of Uniswap. And one of the best ways to improve UX for a single application is using Layer 2. But with most layer twos that have existed up until this point, it's been always, it's always made this sacrifice where we can no longer interoperate cleanly and smoothly with other applications. So there's, you know, a few different applications out there. There's Plasma, there's ZK Rollup, and now there's Optimistic Rollup. Maybe I'll very briefly, very, very quickly, high level explain. Optimistic Rollup, you post blocks, you execute them optimistically, which means you assume everything is valid, unless it's proven invalid. And then basically there's some data off-chain that, that users can have that proves whether or not a transaction is valid or invalid. Very, very scalable, because you basically execute everything off-chain and you don't put any data on-chain. Then you have ZK Rollup. This is the idea that you can do a, you can put data on-chain, very like minimal data per transaction, and then you do a SNARKs proof that all those data, the, all that data was executed properly. Optimistic Rollup basically combines the two ideas. We execute everything optimistically. There's blocks that are posted and you assume that they're valid. But then you post the data that you need for the fraud proof to Ethereum. Okay, so Optimistic Rollup is lit. Optimistic Rollup can scale Uniswap. We can do generalized smart contracts on it. Oh yeah, and Optimistic Rollup can scale generalized interoperable smart contracts on Ethereum. So we can continue to build stuff on top of Uniswap while scaling it. Some credit to Plasma Group. There's Carl over there. I don't know if anyone else from Plasma Group's in here. Maybe not. But made up of Jinglan Wang, Carl Fursch, Ben Jones, Will Meister. And then credit to Vitalik Group. yeah, made up of Vitalik, who has also done a lot of, most of the research, not most of the research, but he, you know, there was the Plasma research, the Rollup research, for sure, and creating Ethereum. So can Optimistic Rollup do Uniswap? Yes, it can, and we built it. It can do about, and by we, I mean Uniswap created a front end and Plasma Group created a back end. It can do about 250 transactions per second, or it can, if we optimize the client, on Istanbul. It can, you know, has native meta transactions, so you can queue up multiple transactions. And yeah, it was built by Uniswap and Plasma Group. So now I'm going to ask you all to pick a team. This is really important. Are you Team Unicorn? Unicorns are majestic, they're shy, they're beautiful, and they love long walks in nature. Or are you Team Pig? Pigs are cute, they're very smart, they're the life of the party, and they love eating until they fall asleep. Okay, raise your hand if you're Team Uni. This is sad. Come on, a few more people raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand if you're Team Pig. Okay. It seems to be 50-50 mathematically, but not in this room.
Not in this room.
I guess the pigs like my talk more. Okay, so we created the site. It's called unipig.exchange. I'm going to demo it right now. I think I have time. How much time do I have? Okay, I have time. Good. Unipig.exchange is a demo of Uniswap on Optimistic Rollup. We've been working on it for the last month. All right, so the first thing we need some form of civil resistance because the money is all fake, so we can't charge you fees. All right, so you can go get tokens from Twitter. We have a pretty great Twitter faucet. All right, it brings up this tweeting at Unipig Exchange. I'm gonna tweet, waiting for my tweet. Yay! Okay, so we just got sent 30 Uni tokens and 30 Piggy tokens on our Layer 2 wallet. This wallet is a burner wallet built into the browser. You see, you can open it up, there's a wallet. Now, unlike most demos, I'm not going to be waiting very long for these transactions to confirm. See? And it's done. There's the UX. And it's done. Although we wanna sell all our pigs so that it increases the value of unique. Just one sec. And it's done. Okay, we also have triggered an airdrop. Let's do this. Okay. So the idea of this is basically to encourage participation. So if two people match up and they both have wallets on Unipig, they can scan each other. Ready? Just like that. Wait for it. There you go. And I got 10 tokens on this account, 10 tokens on the other account. So the real thing with Optimistic Rollup is it's a massive, massive UX improvement over using the base chain. Right? You can get instant confirmations. You can get 250 transactions per second. You don't need to do the approve and transfer. You can basically queue them up together, or it basically doesn't exist. Let's see our stats here. So we've done about 2,100 transactions throughout DEF CON. We've had a bunch of people try this demo. I didn't realize this. I always pay a really high gas price for all my transactions. The average gas cost of a transaction the average wait time of transactions on Ethereum is over a minute. So we've saved 3,600 minutes on these 2,000 transactions of people just sitting around waiting. So that is a lot of time. All right, anyway, I think I'm going to open up to questions. If you have any questions about this demo, about Uniswap V2.
If the transactions are optimistic, how soon will people know that I'm lying?
How soon will people know that you're lying?
Okay.
As soon as they hit the... you have someone forming a block. They submit that block to Ethereum. So it's a block header, so it's just a hash with a Merkle root, and then some data. Anyone in the world, as long as they have an Ethereum node, they'll see all that data, and that's all they need to sort of validate every transaction on the block. So ideally, someone is watching the chain. Anyone who cares about it can watch the chain, catch invalid transactions, and so basically, as soon as it's submitted, as long as someone's watching, should find it. Any other?
You know what? Trading baseball cards or something like that would be really, really cool. Now you can really do it just like the old days.
Do you happen to work at a crypto startup that involves baseball cards?
No,
I agree. So one thing I really like about this sort of what has felt really validating about building this demo is that I do feel like you could create something kind of like the way CryptoKitties went viral. And it just kind of shut down Ethereum. We could, create something like that where Unipig is not necessarily like a super viral game because it doesn't have that many elements to it. But you can create something CryptoKitties-like that could reach a much, much, much wider audience of people without completely using up the entire capacity of the network.
The ES20 error is great, but do you think it's going to break liquidity because it's going to create a lot of new mini errors?
That is a good question. I think that the way that I see it playing out is that for the vast majority of tokens, they would still be paired with ETH. The only really, ETH or maybe some stable coins. I think that there are very specific use cases. I don't know if you've heard of Yield Protocol. That maybe makes usage of the arbitrary pairs. But for most of them, I just see them being paired with maybe ETH, maybe DAI, maybe USDC, you have a couple, and if you're only routing through a couple, it's actually not that difficult to kind of check the price on a couple different ones. So the idea of the Yield Protocol is that if you take Y tokens and you pool them with their respective tokens, if you have Y MKR to MKR on Uniswap, and you have the Oracle features, then you could create an interest rate Oracle that can be used in systems like Compound. Any other questions?
I've heard discussions about determining the transaction fee on Uniswap as a meter who have a constant slippage for a given price. has there any been any research on, like, instead of using a 0.3%, just having something that's more dynamic that could reduce it?
There has been research. Actually, a lot of that research, I don't know if you know, if you've heard of Charlie Noyes at Paradigm. He's been investigating that. At the current moment, I don't have any sort of formula that I think is better. One option is you could just really create pools of a few different denominations, and the problem there is you once again fracture liquidity. It's definitely like an important area of research. Some of my intuition around this is basically, if you had a different fee, all it would really mean is like maybe almost like a different liquidity level where it meets equilibrium. Like, you know, so there's sort of a point where the volume, like the kind of natural volume and the liquidity kind of matches up, and I think that point just kind of changes based off the fee level. But for certain pairs, it's true that, like, you know, if you can have a specific pair that's really, really, I think that's my 20 minutes, but basically if you could have a specific pair that's like really like tightly, like, you know, very, very tight margins on another exchange, obviously Uniswap becomes less efficient for that.
Can you touch on the meta transaction model you were using?
So this doesn't use meta transactions, actually. Unipig uses a in-browser burner wallet, which is nice, so it can like sign in for your private key. It's stored in your local storage on your cookies or whatever. The idea of, when I said native meta transactions, what I really mean is native account abstraction. Basically, the idea is in Bitcoin, for example, you can sort of take multiple UXCOs and you can kind of send them, like you can basically parallelize, or like say these three transactions all need to happen synchronously. On Ethereum, you have to use a smart contract to do it, and so it makes it a little bit more complicated to kind of queue up. For example, if you want to do an approve and then a transaction that uses transfer from, you can't naturally queue them up directly from your wallet. Something like Optimistic Rollup would essentially allow you to queue up transactions so that you can, you know, yeah. All right, yeah. All right, I think we're out of time.